We gather together this afternoon with joy in our hearts and yet tears in our eyes, as I said earlier, to kiss the hand of God's providence. Let me in the beginning say that we're not here today by accident. We're not here today because of bad luck. We're not here this afternoon because of misfortune or some unfortunate occurrence. And we're not here because of some medical care negligence. We're here because the Lord God of heaven and earth appointed and brought to pass the hour of the departure of Larry Brown, whom we loved. We call it divine providence. That's the governance of God by which He with power, wisdom, love, and justice directs all things in the world. And God in Christ has the right as the creator of the universe to rule and reign. And that He does. The psalmist said, our God is in the heavens, and He's done whatsoever He hath pleased. And whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven and in earth and in the seas and in all deep places. Psalm 135, 6. This was Larry Brown's confidence. Larry's God and Savior worked all things after the counsel of His own will, Ephesians 1:11. And Larry's God and Savior worked all things together for His good, Romans 8:38. Why? Because Larry loved the Lord and the God of the Bible, and he was one of the called according to God's purpose, Romans 8:38. Larry was Carol's husband, and she was the love of his life. And Larry was Jennifer and Caroline's father, and they were the apple of his eye. Larry was Steve's brother, who was with Larry until the end of his earthly life. And he was Linda Gale and Cara Beth's grandfather. And his face would light up at the mention of your name. He was uncle to some of you. He was one of the best friends I ever had. He was my brother in Christ and was also to many of you here. But to God, Larry was His beloved. To Christ, the great shepherd, Larry was one of His lambs, one of His sheep. And to many of God's preachers, he was a great helper, a warrior in the trenches of a war that rages in the heart and the souls of men and women, the war of sin. And Larry dedicated the last 35 years or so of his life to putting together study materials for the students of the Scripture. And Larry developed study tools and websites that were used daily by gospel preachers, I being one of them. Larry published several gospel books and commentaries written by faithful men over the years, which are and still are used frequently in the furtherance of the gospel. But let me tell you this straight up. Larry would not want me to go on about him and what he did for the cause of Christ, because Larry knew that it wasn't about him. And that's what I want you to know today. This is not about us. What we're doing today is about one thing that is needful for every single one of us. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's to know Christ, the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings and being made conformable unto Christ's death, Philippians 3:10. Friends, Jesus Christ is the one thing needful. And I can, with great confidence, assure you that Larry Brown is right now face to face with Christ, his Savior. I know that's said at most every funeral service about the one that's deceased. It's believed to be because the one who passed accepted Jesus or made a decision or made Jesus the Lord of their life exercised their free will and got saved. But that's not why Larry Brown is with Christ. Larry didn't accept Jesus. Larry was accepted in the Beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ. Big difference. Larry didn't decide to let God save him. It was God who decided to have mercy and grace upon him. Larry didn't exercise his free will. Larry didn't let go and let God save him. Larry was saved and redeemed according to the free will and purpose of God Almighty. It simply pleased the Lord to make Larry one of his. For no reason apart from his own free will, God Almighty chose to make Larry to differ from others who would never come to Christ for life. He would be the first to tell you, the Lord made me to differ. I didn't make myself to differ. Larry didn't get saved. God saved him. Larry didn't make Jesus Lord. Jesus Christ was Lord long before Larry Brown was born. Christ has always been Lord. Larry bowed to him as Lord. Larry's direction to the presence of Christ was not turn right and go straight. We hear ridiculous things like that all the time. Jesus Christ was the way, and Jesus Christ was the truth and was the life. And Larry knew that no one came to his Father but by him. Now, this is what the Bible teaches, and it teaches the God of the Bible. Larry would tell you that he was redeemed by God-given grace through God-given faith. He would tell you that it was not of himself, that it was the gift of God. Not by works, lest any man should boast. No man can do, accomplish, or do what God requires. And that's provide a perfect righteousness before a thrice holy God. Now let me tell you all what some of you already know. Larry's former dwelling place, this body, in this casket, is not Larry Brown. The real Larry Brown left this realm of time and was ushered into eternity, the glory of heaven, to forever be with Christ Friday, August the 9th, 2024. This earthly tabernacle that we're putting in the ground today was but a temporary dwelling place for Larry. And this past Friday, God retired it. It had become dilapidated. It had become old and it was worn out by the corruption of sin. And God condemned that frail structure in which Larry dwelt. And Larry's physicians, all they tried to put it back together. They tried to rebuild it, but they failed. And the plumbing had gone bad. The electrical system was shot. The foundation was cracked. The roof needed replacing. And the great physician said, that's enough. That's enough. I'm going to build Larry a new house. And I'm going to give him a glorified dwelling place. And that's what he did. He promised he would do it. And God is not a man that he should lie or son of man that he should repent. What God promises, that he does. We're told in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. What made that formed dust a living soul? The breath of God, the breath of life. And when God is pleased to remove that breath, that man returns to the dust of the ground. For out of the ground was man taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Genesis 3:19. And the wise man Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 20, all go into one place, all are of the dust, and turn to dust again. Now the great physician has prepared for Larry a new house that cannot corrupt, dilapidate, or fail. And Larry's glorified body, there's not going to be any more tears. And not going to be, won't there be any more tears? God's going to wipe them away. There's not going to be any more death. For Christ has given everlasting life. There's not going to be any more sorrow, any more crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Why? Because the former things are passed away. Revelation 21:4. And when the Lord returns, the scripture's clear, the dead, these corruptible houses in which we live, shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Why? Because Christ has prepared for us a new dwelling place, those who trust Him, those who know Him. And our corruption is our sin. And if sin's gone, corruption is gone. Let me tell you, Larry Brown had no sin. Now, he would tell you straight up that he was a sinner, but he didn't have any sin. Do you know why? Because the Lord Jesus took his sin upon himself and gave Larry his perfect righteousness. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption and this mortal shall have put on immortality, that's talking about these new houses that the Lord gives His people, these new dwelling places that we receive, then, at the time of Christ's return, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Yes. Listen, we're celebrating a victory today. And I know we're sorrowful, me as much as anyone. I love this man. But death is swallowed up in victory. That's what we're celebrating. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? You know what that means? Exactly what it says. Death is swallowed up. No more death, because Christ has finished the work. It was Christ's victory over sin that swallowed it up. And Larry was made perfect in Christ. The Lord Jesus has presented Larry Brown holy and unblameable and unreprovable in God's sight. And that's all that matters, in God's sight. If Larry could, he would tell you right now that being with Christ is not by works of righteousness that he's done, but according to his, God's mercy that he saved him. And Larry's in the presence of Christ not because of something that he did for God, but Larry is in Christ's presence because of what God did for him. Yes. Folks, today we've got it backwards. Got it backwards. The Bible's clear. Salvation's of the Lord. But men have made salvation of man. Larry trusted in the God of the Bible. And you might be asking yourself right now, well, why do you feel the need to add that phrase of the Bible to the name of God? I'm going to tell you. Because we live in a day where so-called preachers preach a God and a Jesus that no way resembles the God of the Bible. Amen. The God men preach today tries and wants to save. The God of the Bible saves whom he wills. Amen. The God men preach today needs man's help. Won't you give Jesus your heart? Won't you let God save you? Listen, the God of the Bible does what He wills in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? That was Larry Brown's God. And that's the only God, the one and true and living God. Larry knew the difference because God made him the difference, because God revealed it to him. That's the only way that it can be shown to us. And Larry stood for the truth because God revealed the truth to him. Larry professed the blood shed by Christ is his only hope of redemption. And Larry, like the Apostle Paul, he had great confidence that the time of his departure was at hand. I want you to try to understand that. This is not death. This is just a departure. This is a promotion. Larry wouldn't come back if he could. He's in the presence of Christ. Larry's absence from us today is because he's present with the Lord. And I'm confident of that because I'm confident in the one in whom Larry put his trust. That's what Paul said. He said, we are confident. I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Yes, to be absent from this body, and he is. That dwelling place is done. We're going to put it in the ground, and it's going to go back to being dust. But Larry is with his Lord. Yes. And, that to be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. Isn't that something to rejoice over? Sure it is. Paul went on to say, I fought a good fight. I can tell you firsthand. Larry Brown fought a good fight. Paul said, I finished my course. Larry finished his course. Paul said, I've kept the faith. Larry kept the faith. And it was all because the Lord kept Larry. Back in March, Larry told me about his medical issues. I remember saying to him, Larry, I'm sure sorry that you got to go through this trial. And in Larry fashion, if I can say that, he said, well, don't be. Don't be. He told me, I'll never forget this. He said, David, there got to be some means to us laying down this flesh. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. You see, Larry knew that physical death was an appointment. Who made that appointment with Larry? God did. Listen to what the book of Job says. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And seeing man's days are determined. Who determines them? God does. The number of his months, man's months, are with thee. With God. Thou, God, hast appointed his, man's bounds that he cannot pass. Now listen, God determines when we come into this world, and God determines when we leave it. I hear folks all the time talking about, well, so-and-so had a baby and they were born early. They were born premature. No, they weren't. No, they, according to God, they were born right on time. And we won't go 1 second past the time that God gives us. Our bounds are appointed of God that we cannot pass. Before God ever created this world, God appointed and determined that Larry Brown would be born into this world and that he would live 922 months, 2 weeks, and 2 days, and not a second longer. Not a second longer. It was determined by God. And do you know what God says about that? It's found in Psalm 116, verse 3, and it reads, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. My, my. Here's a view of death of a peculiar kind. It speaks of a particular death, that being the death of God's saints. God's saints are those who trust in Christ alone to provide them with the perfect righteousness that a thrice holy God requires of them. You and I can't provide it. Only Christ can. There's none righteous, no, not one. God in Christ makes his people righteous. How? Christ was made to be sin for his people. Christ, who knew no sin, he was sinless, he was perfect. He took his people's sin upon himself that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. And that, my friends, is why the death of one of God's saints, and he was one of them, is precious. Precious. Death for an unbeliever is terrible. It's terrible. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But death for a believer, oh my saint, oh, it's reason for rejoicing. In the death of the saint, there's no punishment for sin to be administered. Christ has already bore the punishment and the penalty of sin. Larry's sin was punished in his substitute. It could and would not be consistent with God's holy justice that the death penalty should be executed upon the Lord Jesus Christ and then again upon the one for whom Christ died. Matter of fact, it was said best in an old hymn, payment God will not twice demand, first at my bleeding surety's hand and then again in mine. No, if Christ has bore my sin, then my sin's gone. It's not just swept under a rug to be found later. It's gone. God throws it behind his back, and God never looks backwards. In the last conversation Larry and I had before his surgery, he spoke these words to me. I'll never forget them. He said, David, it's a privilege to die in Christ. That, my friends, is what makes us precious. The death of God's saints is precious because Christ himself is precious. The Apostle Peter said unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. And those of you that know Christ know what I'm speaking of. Christ was certainly precious to Larry. Is he precious to you? That's the question of the hour. What think ye of Christ? That's the most important question you'll ever be asked. It is. Larry would want me to ask you, what do you think of Jesus Christ? It's a matter of life and death, eternal life and eternal death. When Larry left this world Friday, August the 9th, it was precious in the sight of the Lord. And you know what? It's precious to me because I know where he is. None of us know when the time of our death will come. Will our death be precious in the sight of the Lord? Only if Christ is precious to us in our sight. And only if we're trusting in Christ to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Are you trusting in Christ? Bow with me in prayer. Father, we thank you for the time that you gave each of us with this dear husband, father, grandfather, brother, and friend. Enable us, Lord, to rejoice in his departure. Enable us to be thankful for his promotion. Ease our hearts of the pain. Bless us with fond memories of days gone by, and at the same time, stir our hearts, Lord, to consider the days ahead. Show us the urgency of our condition. Make us to know the seriousness of sin's wages. Show us our desperate need of a substitute. Comfort this family in the days ahead. Give them the peace that passes all understanding, that peace that will keep their hearts and their minds on Christ, who is the one thing needful. We beg you, O Lord, to bring these things to pass for your glory, our good, and for Christ's sake. Amen.